Okay, we are on Yavamos Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis 112b at the bottom at the beginning of the Gemara. The Mishnah just told us. The Mishnah just talked about all these different cases of a deaf mute marrying non-deaf mute, the whole thing, and all different types of cases when they would have to do that, when they would have to do this, that, whatever, all the different combinations. So the Gemara now says, Amrei Chama, Ma'ishna cheresh mecheresh takinu l'rabban nisuin, u'ma'ishna deshota veshota zelo takinu l'rabban nisuin. Why is that when it comes to a deaf mute and a deaf mute that there is such an institution of marriage that the rabbis allowed them to have, but when it comes to someone who's crazy, so then there's no such thing. Right, that whole Mishnah just talked about deaf mutes. The only time we ever have a shota case is when someone becomes a shota, but that they had married while being a shota. So the Gemara said, the Tanya, shota v'kata shnasu nashim mesu, that when it comes to someone who's crazy and a child that married and then died, they have no obligation for chalitz or yibum, which implies that the actual marriage never actually took place. However, when it comes to a deaf mute marrying a deaf mute, where we explain from the takana, where we have a takana, takinu l'rabbanan nisuin. Oh, this is the answer. When it comes to a deaf mute and a deaf mute, so when it comes to Yibam, we allow them to get married, and thereby we allow them to continue their getting married, like in the case of Yibam. So then takinu l'rabbanan, hold on, is that what that means? In the case of, sorry, I'm looking at Safaria now. In the case of a deaf mute and a deaf mute where women, a man and a woman, where the ordinance of the sages can be fulfilled, meaning they can maintain the marriage, just then they allowed marriage for them. Is this referring to sexual intercourse? What is it talking about? In the case of deaf mute, where the ordinance of the sages can be fulfilled, i.e. these marriages can be maintained, so the sages enacted marriage for them. I don't know what that means. Shota v'shota to lo kaimetz kantet rabbanan, ze'ein adam darim nachash bekfifa achas lo takinu l'rabbanan nisun. So I guess it says it here. So what does it mean? A person cannot reside in a basket, i.e. close quarters with a snake. I guess there's a possibility that you can marry and sort of maintain the marriage in a practical sense. You can talk to each other or hint to each other, and you don't have to be worried about the other one doing something crazy. I guess there's a greater probability of living in a civil way together. Is that how I'd say it?
I think it's exactly it.
It's just like a social practicality. Okay. So fine. So then we have the situation of the deaf mutes working together, but the shota doesn't work together. They can't work together. What's the difference between deaf mutes and someone who's underage? Cheresh, presumably because someone who's underage can still at least live, I don't know what the right word is, but amicably, they can live civilly with each other. So the Gemara says, Cheresh lo asu l'chala nisuin, the deaf mute that's never going to become married together, they can never be married because they're never going to not be deaf mutes, apparently. So then, takin rabban nisuin will give them a way out. Barakatan da'asu l'chala nisuin lo takin rabban nisuin. So the rabbis didn't create I'm looking for a word. I don't know. They didn't create an angle for them to become married because they're going to be able to be married regularly later. Says the Gemara, wait a second. V'harei ketana da'asu l'chala nisuin v'tzikin rabbanan nisuin. wait a second, when it comes to a young girl, we did give them the possibility of marriage. Meaning that we allowed her mother and brother to marry her off. So Gemara says, Nahasam shalo yunai gubai b'nai hefker. The reason why we allowed them to do that is so that people don't treat her in a manner of like ownerless properly, like hefker. Because if she marries the husband will watch over her, and if not, she might be treated disrespectfully. A young girl without a father, I guess people will think there are no consequences to do with her what they will. Maybe that's what that means. What's the difference between a katana that she's allowed to do miyun, meaning she can retroactively undo that rabbinic marriage, and a deaf mute who's not allowed to undo that rabbinic marriage if the rabbis are doing it anyway, if it's all based on the rabbi's word? So then why don't you just allow the rabbis, why don't the rabbis just allow the deaf mute to similarly refuse her marriage like a young girl is allowed to? So Gemara says, the imkain, if that was the case, onto Amud Aleph, mi man iv la nasbila, people would refrain from marrying her because she can just get rid of the marriage all the time.
Indefinitely.
Right. She'll always be a deaf mute. At least when it comes to a katana, all you have to say to yourself is, okay, I got to get her to 12 and a half, right? Just, you know, make it work until she's 12 and a half, and then I'll have a secure marriage. I don't have to worry about it anymore. But if you establish for a deaf mute that she can do refusal, so when does that stop? As long as she's deaf mute, she'd be allowed to. Why is it the katana, the young girl, is allowed to eat truma, and the chereshet deaf mute is not allowed to eat truma based on her marriage? As the Mishnah says, hey, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gid Gada, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada witnessed or testified that a deaf mute that was married off by her father, that she gets divorced with a get. And when it comes to a katana who marries a kohen, she eats truma, but the deaf mute woman does not eat truma. I guess this is the implication of what he said. So why isn't the case? Why doesn't the deaf mute get to eat truma? Gezer Hashem yachil cheresh becheresh. Maybe the deaf mute kohen will eat along with the deaf mute wife. Okay. Why can't he do that? Oh, so Shem Yachir says, Velecho, what's the problem with that? Katan Ochel Nevelos, who? Oh, there's a loaded statement. Katan Ochel Nevelos is basically saying it's a child who's allowed, it's like the child who's allowed to eat Nevela, right? When you have kids and you put them in the high chair, and you're trying to get them to eat something. So everybody else is eating chicken. So you cut up some chicken, they start eating the chicken, and then they throw it away. And you know that this kid is not going to be able to eat anything except for some milk. So what do? So you give them some milk, right? We don't say, oh, there's an Isser Basar B'Chalav, you can't give your children this, that. So there are different stages of that. And obviously there's chinuch to worry about, but in general, someone who's not obligated in the mitzvah, so you can be lenient to allow them to do different things. So why is it a problem? When it comes to a katana, when it comes to a child, we allow them to eat a nevela. And all of a sudden, when it comes to a cheresh, who's also not obligated in mitzvahs, we won't allow them to have truma. So why? So Gemara says, Gezer Hashem yachal cheresh bepikachas. Maybe the deaf mute man will also allow his not deaf mute wife to eat truma, and that'll be a problem because that marriage is not a full-fledged marriage. So it says, why don't you allow them to have truma drabanan? Different types of truma apply to different types of foods. So if this is a drabanan, so let's do it me drabanan. So Gemara says, no, gezera dilma asa l'ochel b'truma d'oraisa. If you allow them to have truma d'rabanan, so obviously you were concerned that they're going to eat also truma d'oraisa. New question entirely. Why is it that a katana, and I assume we don't have those same decrees by a katana because she'll eventually be able to eat, as opposed to cheresha that she'll never be able to eat. I guess you'll just be careful for a couple of years or whatever. New question. Why is it the katana gets a ksuba and a cheresha doesn't eat? When it comes to chereshas, if the husband of the deaf mute would be obligated to give her a marriage contract, the men would refrain from marrying her at all. Is that true? I guess we need to create some kind of incentive. Is that what we're saying? We need to try to create some kind of incentive so people still marry deaf mutes. Whereas the katana, Minelan de Isla Ksuba, how do we know that she gets a Ksuba? It's not having menace, I shouldn't have eyelids in Laksuba. They don't have a ksuba. What's a shnia? Shnia is an erva, right? The Durabanan ervas. The island is the woman who can't have children, so then they don't get any ksuba. Aval yotza beget, ukatana, aval yotza beget. But they do get a get. Those are legitimate marriages. They need a literal get from them. But uketana yesh l'ksuba, and a younger girl, she does get a ksuba. That's just a Mishnah that says that. That's not really a proof. It was just saying, how do we know that? Okay, fine. V'chereshes minelan deleis l'ksuba. How do we know the chereshes does not have a ksuba? Well, we just explained the purpose of not having a ksuba so that people will marry her, but okay. I guess we're also looking for a Tanaitic source that says that she doesn't get a ksuba. The Tana, the Braisa says, Chayish v'shota, she'nasu pikros, a deaf mute and a foolish person that get married to non-complicated people. So then, afal pishin is pakeach ha'chayish. Even if the deaf mute becomes a pikeach, v'nishtafa ha'shota, I guess that means they become sensible again. And lehem aleim klum. They don't have any obligation towards them? I don't know what that means. Even if they had no... Even if they
don't have a ketubah, but if they want to stay married, have to give them a ketubah.
Yeah, okay. So they don't have any ksubah. I thought it meant some other kind of claim. But Rezul Kaiman Yeshlam Ksuba, if they wanted to maintain that marriage, so then they would get a Ksuba. I guess they would write a Ksuba in the middle of the marriage. It's an interesting trivia question. What kind of woman gets a Ksuba in the middle of the marriage? Ubikev Shinas Khresh Soshota, a non-deaf mute who marries a deaf mute, or a non-crazy person that marries a crazy person. I feel Kasav La Mayaj Mana Ksubasa Kayamas. Even if you would write 100 in the ksuba, it would still be good. Mivnei sheratza lizok bin chasav. Meaning, if he volunteers to do a ksuba, so then he's allowed to. We're not going to stop him. Is that what it's saying? I guess that's what it's saying. Mimnei shiratza l'azuk milchasav. Tam adiratza halo ratza. Ein la te'im kein mimena levon spila. But the only reason why we say he can write a ksuba of 100 is because he wants to. But if he didn't want to, so he doesn't have to write it. That's what we're saying here, apparently. And the reason is because, as we said before, people won't get married to the deaf mute if they don't have to. If they have to write a ksuba. So, So then it comes to a pikacha, someone who's not deaf mute. So then you should establish for the the woman who's not deaf mute marrying a deaf mute man. So she should get a ksuba d'imkin mimino v'lo minitzva minasbi. So then in that case. You should allow them to get a ksuba, because if they didn't get a ksuba, so then the men would never get married.
You don't have to entice competent women to marry deaf mutes because women are so desperate to get married, is basically what it's saying.
I was never going to get that. Thank you for that. The point is, okay, so basically the only people that need incentives to get them married off are the women. So when it comes to a chereshes, so then we need to give a little extra incentive for the men to marry them. So therefore we take away the ksuba, make it a little easier for the men to commit. When it comes to a cheresh, when the deaf mute woman is the one who is being married off, so then we don't need to do ksuba. We can do a ksuba. I don't know if the words work with that, but either way. So the point is that the ksuba is not going to deter any man from marrying a chereshes, from marrying a deaf mute woman. So Gemara says, Yoser meha misheha ish rotz lisa, ish rotz linase. More than a man wants to get married, a woman wants to get married. Hahu cheresh tava b'shivu derav malkio. There is a Rav Malkio, and there was a deaf mute man in that city. Ansebe itisa uchsev la arba ma'azuzi b'dechse. And Rav Malkio himself married Rav Malkio married him off to the woman. I guess that's what it means. You're right. Rav Malkio married off the deaf mute man to this woman, to a different, just a random woman, and he gave her a hefty ksuba. This is the deaf mute man. So as we just said, the deaf mute man should not have to give a ksuba. Sorry, should give a ksuba.
And here he's given a giant one. Hold on. We're sort of disproving, I think, the prior.
Right. The story disproves what we just said, which is that the
women don't need an incentive, and right. Here he's giving women a pretty big incentive.
Right. Amarava man chakim krav malchio de gavar abahu kasavar ilu ratza shivcha l'shamsho milo zavninan lay kolosh gen hacha di katarti. Okay, so they're praising Rav Malkio for giving this, for doing this, because a different way, they made the marriage work. So what happened? Found a way to achieve a desirable result by giving her a marriage contract, despite the fact that the deaf mute was not obligated to do so, right? So as we said before, he didn't have to do so. Rav Malkio said, if the deaf mute man wanted a maidservant to attend to him, would we not acquire one for him? So is it basically saying that the ksuba is functioning as a way to buy this woman?
Even better. She's now a wife and a maidservant.
I can't tell if it's being literal when it says that, or it's saying just like...
I think it is sort of being literal, where if he needed a maidservant, now we do that for him, and he'd have to spend, and here...
It's a two-for-one. Uh-huh. Okay. It's a kind of a weird...
Not romantic, but practical.
Okay. Amar Bechia. So, but the point is that wasn't as an obligation. That was more as a practicality. Amar Bechia bar Ashi Amar Shmuel Esh Ezcherish Ein Chayavan Ola Hashem Tali. That the wife of a deaf mute does not have to bring a guilt offering. A guilt offering is a carbon that you bring if you're unsure if you did something wrong. So let's see what the Sefari says. He is not liable to bring an offering that is brought in case where one is unsure whether he committed a sin that requires a sin offering. A man who unwittingly has relations with a married woman must bring a sin offering, whereas if the woman was doubtfully married, he brings a guilt offering for uncertainty. However, the marriage of a deaf mute is not categorized as a doubtful marriage. Meaning we know for sure that she is married. She's a married woman. And therefore, if somebody were to sleep with this woman, so then they would be obligated a regular karban, not a karban asham, not an asham tale, because we know for sure that she's married, that kind of thing. So there are five types of situations where a person should not take truma, but if they did it, and even if they did it, then it would not be considered truma of alien. Hold on, is that what it's saying? Or is it saying the opposite? Ashram Talia means that they're absolutely not married, or they absolutely are married?
It's not the way I'm taking it. It's even less than.
Yeah, I think that's what it means. I think
marriage.
Yeah, I think it means that they're not even considered married at all. The name is Safik Eshes Ish. He Safik Haya Baladas. Savik Ainbo Vahaba Ababa Leva Ashram Tali Devada Ainlo Shum Kinimantar. Yeah, so I got it wrong. It means basically they're absolutely not obligated because they're absolutely not married. So let me say, like, maybe it's similar to this case where there are five types of situations where you should not take Truman. Even if you tried to, it wouldn't work. V'eluhain, and these are those five. Cherishot to the Katan, the Torah, and Shein and Shalom. Who are always not obligated in the mitzvahs, and when it comes to someone who takes truma from something which is not belonging to him, and a non-Jew that takes truma even if they had the Jews' permission, in trumas and truma, they can't even do truma if they want to do. Who the Amar Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Eliezer says the Gemara no. When it comes to truma, it's based on Rabbi Eliezer. Maybe it's like, because in that case, we had the cherish in there, right? So that's why it's saying maybe this is the source of it, because the cherish similar can't do this mitzvah. So Gemara says, no, that's like Rabbi Elazar in the following verse. It's Tanya, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Trumas Cherish, Lo Seitz, Elo Chulim, Yom Neish, Shusafik. That the Truma of a cherish should not go to Chulim because it's a Safik. It's a Safik whether or not it's good Truma. Hold on. Isvirele Krebi Elazar, Asham Talo Nami Lechayev. If it's true that Shmuel holds like Rebbe Elazar, that the deaf mute can still possibly take Truma, so then why doesn't he also require an Asham Talo? If the cherish is of doubtful status. Oh, so we're claiming, so somehow we know, this is why I'm getting confused. Somehow we know that Shmuel said his statement about not being obligated in Hashem Toloi in accordance with Rabbi Elazar. Somehow we know that. I'm not sure why we're sort of putting ourselves in this corner, but there's this brice of Rabbi Elazar that says that Truma is considered suffic truma if it was taken by a cherish. So the Gemara now asks, so why don't you take given ashram taloi for that marriage then? So, or for that, for the relations with this woman who could be married. So the Gemara says, ba'inan chaticha mishte chatichos. We require one piece from two pieces. What in the world does that mean? Shmuel maintains that one is not liable to bring a guilt offering for uncertainty in every case where there is doubt whether or not there was a transgression, where one would liable to an offering if it was certain that there was a transgression. Rather, the guilt offering for uncertainty is brought if, according to Shmuel, one had two pieces of meat before him, one of which was definitely forbidden while the other was permitted, but he does not know with certainty which one he ate. However, when the doubt involves a single item or action, okay, so it basically means we don't know which happened. Something definitely usher could have happened, something definitely mutter could have happened. But if there's a single person or a single item which has the status of maybe it is, maybe it isn't. So then we're not going to bring Ashram Tahler for that. Okay, interesting distinction there. In this case, the doubt concerning the wife of a deaf mute does not involve a choice between an action of a prohibited and one is permitted. Rather, it depends on the status of one's money. We just don't know. Does he really require such a doubt to be necessitate Ashram Tahler? When it comes to a koi, which is this uncertain animal, so we don't know if it's a behem or a chaya, if I remember correctly. So then the fat of that animal is also unclear whether or not it's asur midaraisa, and therefore you bring in Ashram Tahler. But that's a suffix, that's a doubt of one item. We just don't know what this thing is. What's the status of this thing? And therefore, Rabbi Elazar should not require an Ashram Tahler in that case. So the Gemara says, Shmuel Savak Rabbi Elazar b'chada, upal yulei b'chada. When it comes to the status of a cheresh, so he passes like Rabbi Elazar. And when it comes to a koi, he doesn't pass like Rabbi Elazar. It's kind of interesting. Well, what's the rule then? I guess it's just a case-by-case basis. V'ikad Amri, Amr Rabbi Chia Bar Ashi, Amr Shmuel, Eshes Cheresh, Chayav Nalei Ashram Tahler. There's an alternative tradition that Shmuel didn't say you're not obligated, but he said that you are obligated in an Ashram Tahler. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Meisvei Chamisha Lo Yitrumu. It says that you should not take the Truma. So the Gemara says, Savar Lak Rabbi Elazar. He passed like Rabbi Elazar that you, if you take the Truma, so it does work. So Bar Rav Ashi, my time to Rabbi Elazar. What's the reasoning for Rabbi Elazar who says that even though a Cheresh takes Truma, it would still work, even though he's not supposed to? Mivshat Pshitza Le Cheresh Data Kalishtahu. He knows, says the Rabbi Elazar, it's obvious to him that the deaf mute is obviously kalush, which means like weak or incapable. Umi misakla idata tzilusahu. We know that the mind is weak. The question is whether it's clear. I feel like this is we're arguing over semantics here. But the cheresh's mind is weak, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't know anything. It just means that it takes him a little longer to get everything. Or maybe there are certain things he's clear about, certain things he's not clear about. Ilav data tzilusa, or he's not clear. L'olam chada datahu, but he's always got the same mind. Meaning it's a consistent thing. Ol dilma pshita le didate klish devilav data tzilusahu, or he knows that he's of weak mind. And he's not a clear mind. And the reason is, because sometimes he goes crazy. The Cherishota can have his ups and downs in terms of the functioning. If he has a consistent mind, so then maybe he's just considered like a foolish person that always functions at the same level. You can learn how to live with that. But if you're the type of person that sometimes is crazy, so we can never rely on what you're doing. So it's not clear which one he is. I don't know if either one of these is going to justify the Truma thing. I don't know. Does it explain it? L'may nafkmina, what's the difference between the two? L'hotzi ishto beget. Iyamar chada datahu. If you're going to say he has a consistent mind, so then he has to still give a get because the original kiddushin was done at the same level of consciousness, the same level of intellectual capacity. Then the gerushin has to be to undo that same level. If, however, it was the kiddushin was given at one point in time, and then later on you're doing the gerushin, so you don't know for sure whether he's at the same level of intellectual capacity. So what you do in that case, you don't know if he's at the same level of intellectual capacity by the time he's getting divorced to undo the time that he got married. So Gemara says, Teku, I don't know. All right, that's all we got in that one. Nishtate, so a woman who becomes crazy. So then you can never divorce her. It's like Devar Torah Shota Miskareshes. Midaraisa of a crazy woman can be divorced. Midi to have apikachas bal karcha, just like a normal woman without any complicated status can be divorced against her will. Well, my time, Amru and Megoresh. That's why he said I can't get divorced. Shaloi Nagaba Hamina Kafkar. So you don't treat her, you know, like ownerless property. Since she's crazy, nobody's gonna wanna take care of her later. So what's gonna happen? She's gonna divorce her, and she's gonna just be, taking advantage of the rest of her life. So Hechidami, what's the case? If we're talking about a case where a woman is crazy, but she's still able to protect her contracts, so who's gonna treat her like that? Ella Ta'inudashmarlokitablotma. It must be a case where the woman is in such difficult state of her imbecility, so then she won't be able to even protect those marriage contracts. So Gemara says, "Devar Torah Shota Miskoresh." Is it really true that midaraisa you can get divorced from a shota? Hamar debe Rabbi Anai v'nasan biyada. You give it to her hand. Mishi yeshla yad legarish atzma yazazush she'en la yad legarish atzma. She doesn't have a functioning hand to the extent that you could get divorced from her. Rabbi Shmuel says, you send her from your house. She, because of her ineptitude, is going to still come back. Only the only person you can divorce is someone who, when you give her a marriage contract, she'll know not to come back. Meaning that she'll understand what a divorce is. So she knows how to protect the get, but she doesn't know how to protect herself. What does that mean? Devar Torah shotim is kareshes tayodas lishmar gita midaraisa. She can do it because she knows how to protect the get. Vam rabbanu lo lafkei shelo yinagum min hakafker. She doesn't know how to protect herself, so we're not going to let her just sort of get, you know, tossed to the streets, if you will. That's why it says when she becomes crazy, she can't get divorced. And when it comes to him, you can never get divorced at all. Why is it that when the man is the one who goes crazy, it says forever, and when a woman doesn't? When it comes to the woman, technically you could get divorced midaraisa, and therefore it doesn't say forever, because technically you could get divorced. But when it comes to the man, it says olamas, because even midaraisa you can't do it, since he doesn't have the mental fortitude to actually do it. Am Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri b'ilahu. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri had said, why is it that the husband of a woman who became deaf mute may divorce her, whereas a man who becomes deaf mute may not divorce his wife? Yeah. Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, Ish Pshitalei, Visha Kamakabe, Kamibayalei, is the, which one's obvious, right? When the man becomes crazy, he can't do divorces. And when the woman becomes crazy, she can be divorced. So then which one is obvious to him? Which one is he asking about? Which one is the chiddush, basically? The man can do it, or that the woman can't do it? Isha kami ba'ele, o dilma isha pshita lei, ish kami ba'ele. So the Gemara says, Tashmayim dekamar lei, eno dilma isha hamigarish le isha hamizgarashas. She isha yotzi zertzono v'shalo letzono, v'ish eno motzi elo letzono. Shema mina ish kami ba'ele. That the question was, when the man becomes crazy, when the man becomes deaf-mute, not crazy, I'm getting confused with the previous case. When the man becomes deaf-mute, so he was wondering whether or not he could lirtzono, right, to his will, does he have a full capacity enough to get divorced from his will? Shema mina ish kami ba'ele, he was wondering. Adrav, so says Gemara, wait a second, maybe it's the opposite. It means to come lay avzu kayotze ba, avzu kayotze ba. Avzu kayotze ba, shema mina ish kami ba'ele. I'm not really sure what that means. Avzu kayotze ba, even she, means presumably that's an extrapolation from the man, which means that the woman was even more of a question, I guess. I don't know. Al Rabbi Yochanan Menuri in the Devarim Kamar Lehu. He's talking to the rabbis. The other Menuri, according to me, ki ech di ish lo matzu migarish, ish anag lo migarisha. According to me, just like the man can't get divorced, a deaf mute man can't get divorced, so too a woman can't get divorced. A deaf mute woman can't get divorced. El Edithu, the rabbis, maishna isha, maishna ish. Why is there a difference between the man and the woman? So Amrulay, Enodama Ish Hamagarish Lish Hamiskarashas. When it comes to getting divorced, so then they are the same. Hold on. But they're not the same. I guess we'd have to look back at the Mishnah to understand that, and I don't have it in front of me. Hey, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, this is what we said earlier today, that that the minor deaf mute who was married off is able to get divorced only later. Oh, no, this was in the Mishnah. They're able to get divorced when she gets older. So Gemara says, Amar Rava, may Yitusha Shabbi Yochanan ben Gudig da Amar La'edim re'u get zesha ani nosein. You should say to the witnesses, look at the get that I am giving. Va'amar la kinsi shtar chov zeh harezu mikureshes. See this bill of divorce that I'm giving to my wife, and yet he said to her, take this promissory note, meaning it's like a financial note. Right. So then she's still divorced.
Something she would want instead of something she wouldn't want.
How do you learn that from Rav Yochanan ben Gudga? Milo amar Rav Yochanan ben Gudga lo ba'idata, hachanami lo ba'idata. So basically, from Rav Yochanan ben Gudga's statement that the marriage is good even as for a minor girl, so presumably it doesn't matter what the girl thinks. So here also, it doesn't matter what the girl thinks. I guess that's what it means. So pshita. Isn't that obvious? Why is that such a chiddush? Why do you have to tell me that, Rava? We already know that a woman isn't able to object to the get. So maybe because he's lying, but therefore he undoes the entire status of the get. He doesn't undo the status. If there was such a thing that he could get rid of or nullify the status of the get as a real get, so then I don't know what the Gemara is trying to say by this. He's saying the reason why it would be a problem is because he would nullify it. The fact that he did that when he doesn't say anything, it would potentially be fine. Now that he says it, he's only saying it because he's embarrassed. He just didn't want to. He didn't want to confront the issue right in the moment. So he said, "This is something else." Okay, I'm not really sure what that logic was in the middle there. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure what that means. He said the words "kinsi shtarchov zeh," so it sounds like he could have been mivatel it somehow. Reva is saying. And no, he doesn't really mean it. Okay. Not really sure what the logic is, though. Okay. Because Rava says if he would have meant to nullify, he would have nullified it by saying it to the witnesses. And he did say it to the witnesses. So I don't know what he means. That we just assume he's not saying it for real. Rav Yitzchak bar Bisna, Ayr Irchasule Miftechei Devei Midrash Bishasarab Mishabasa. Rav Yitzchak bar Bisna lost the keys to the base medrash, and nobody could get in. And it was in the public domain on Shabbos. Asalakame to Rabbi Pitas. He went to Rabbi Pitas and said, "And Amar Lei, Zil Davar Tali Vitalia Valitali Lahasam." And get the boys and girls to get the keys. Dimishkach Lehu Maisel Lehu. Then they'll bring them. Amak Savra Katan Ochel Nevelas Ein Beis Mitzuv Nafrisho. We see from here that a child who is doing something wrong, you don't have to stop them from doing that thing wrong. All right, we're going to pick up here because this is going to open a can of worms, I feel like, although I can't see the rest of the daf because I'm on Safaria. But that's a major concept that we mentioned earlier in the daf, that you don't have to stop them from doing something. You could even cause them to do it. Like a cheresh, you can cause them to have truma or something like that. And we're not worried about it. Just like a child eating non-kosher. All right, we'll pick it up tomorrow. Okay. Shkayach Rabose, I'll hopefully be in person. I'll be in person tomorrow. Shkayach. Shkayach.